Shalom, Havarim. Hello, friends. Good to see you this morning. I actually came prepared today, which isn't to say that I am not prepared every other day, but today I'm prepared to share with you not one, not two, but three jokes about gardening. I got one eye roll and I haven't even told the jokes yet. All right, these are jokes. So the other day I was talking with a neighbor and I said, you know, I really would like to start an herb garden just, you know, alongside the fence and so we can grow some of our own herbs, but I just don't know where to start. So my neighbor sat me down and we talked about herbs for hours and hours. And I learned so much about herbs from my neighbor. Turns out it was really sage advice. All right, that one. There's a reason we start low. All right, number two. All right, so the other day I went outside to spend a little time in my garden. You know, I like to get up early. I have become one of those people who is an early riser. So I went out very early, started sitting in my garden, trying to think about how I was going to prepare my garden for the coming days. And I was just starting to realize how dark it was. And I started wondering just where the sun was. And then it dawned on me. It only go up, right? All right, last one. So I was mentioning my neighbor, we had this discussion about the herb garden, and I was working on the herb garden then the other day, and they noticed that I was there kneeling, and I was really putting a lot of thought and effort into it. If you know me, I can be very meticulous. I like detail. And the neighbor noticed that I was like putting a lot of work into organizing my herbs. And they said to me, "What in the world are you doing?" I said, "I am organizing my herbs alphabetically." And she said to me, "I don't know how you find the time." And I said, "It's right there beside the sage." Q-R-S-T-U-V. All right, so none of that actually happened. Those were jokes. But I was actually working in the garden this week. And I was going through and pulling out, you know, the invasive species and the volunteer trees and all those things that pop up that you don't want in the garden. And as you're working in the garden, you have a lot of time to think about things. So I was thinking about how there was this competition with all the things that I wanted to have grow in my garden and the things I didn't want to have grow. There's competition for things like space and nutrients. There's competition for water. And I even thought about how there's competition for sunlight. Like, sunlight is very abundant. Like, you walk outside, as long as it's not too early in the morning, there is an abundance of sunlight, but there can be competition because when these plants form canopies, they can block out other smaller plants, keeping them from the sunlight. So as I'm pulling these plants and I'm thinking about the competition that we have among these plants, the ones that you want and the ones that you don't want, I realize just how much this actually reflects my own personal life and how there's things that are competing for my energy, my time, my relationships. And I got a little bit philosophical and theological as well, and there's things that are competing for my very soul. There's things that are competing because some things are so draining on me. Some things just keep, you know, wearing me out and wearing me down. But yeah, there's other things that are life-giving. So I'm thinking about all of these things and getting philosophical and theological as I'm plucking out plants. And you've all been there, right? A lot of free time as you're working. And I started thinking about all the biblical metaphors for agriculture or agricultural metaphors that are in the Bible. And just call some out if you think of anything. What kind of metaphors do you think of from the Bible that are agricultural? The sower sowing seeds. Ooh, yeah, reaping and sowing, good. I had a few, and to be honest, Ecclesiastes 11 wasn't the first one that came to mind. You know, I'll give Danny a little hard time because it reflects actually on myself. You know, I was looking through, trying to come up with these biblical metaphors. I came up with several as I was sitting there in the garden and then later Googled it, and I came up with a whole bunch. There's like dozens of biblical references to agriculture. One that came up was Ecclesiastes 11, and I called Danny on Monday to give him my scripture and tell him about, you know, I wanted to have him serve as worship leader. And I said, "I'm going to work with Ecclesiastes 11. And he said, "That one's not on the top of my brain right now." But here's just a couple that I came up with And to be honest, you know, if Danny doesn't think of it right away, you know, he's probably read the Bible through more than anybody else here in this room. But here's something that just came to my mind. The parable of the sower. Jesus pruning the vines. I am the vine, you are the branches. Think about the backwards-looking plower. Nobody that puts their hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. Faith the size of a mustard seed. And the parable of the fig tree, where the guy says, hey, if I can just dig around it and fertilize it for a year, let's see if it produces. And I love the King James Version. King James Version says, rather than fertilize it, can I cover it with dung? Something about the King James Version just gets right to the root of it, doesn't it? So here's some of the ones that I thought about. And as I realized that there was these dozens of references, these agricultural references in the Bible, I started to think about my children. And my kids get more involved with agriculture than many kids do today. I realize that so many kids are a generation or two removed from the farm that some of these metaphors are going to go right over their heads. And I was doing a little research for today's sermon, and I was looking at these different agricultural metaphors in the Bible. And Will, you can correct me here if I'm wrong. With one lady, she was drawing attention to Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. This is Sermon on the Mount stuff. Matthew 5:13 is, you are the salt of the earth. And this woman says that this metaphor is talking about fertilizer. She's describing fertilizer as salt as a fertilizer. And she's talking about how you apply this salt to the ground to fertilize the plants to get an abundant crop. And I did a little looking into this, and this is where I need your help, Will. Now, it's true that there are minerals in salt that can be beneficial to plants. You can use some salt as a fertilizer. But what happens if you put too much salt on any plant? It's a good way to kill it. And not only that, you will kill the next generation, next year's crop as well. There are stories of like the Roman soldiers coming through town, and whenever they defeat a nation, they would salt the fields to keep them from producing, to kind of starve the people out. Like, it's not just bad enough that you beat them, you have to totally embarrass them and starve them out. So I think it's kind of important that we understand some of these biblical metaphors, these agricultural metaphors. And so much of it is lost on, you know, so much is lost on youth these days, right? And this is, you know, it's kind of a joke, this ongoing joke, but there was a poll recently done, and I think it's 7% of adults, and I don't know which adults they looked into, but 7% of adults still believe that chocolate milk comes from brown cows. And if you're out there like, what? You mean it doesn't? Glenn is shocked to learn that. There are reasons why we need to dig into these metaphors to understand what is going on, what is being taught in these passages. So what I want to do today is look at the different steps involved in growing our own food. And I know many of you have experience here, so maybe this will connect with you in some way. The different steps involved with growing our own food and how that applies to growing in faith. In the Mennonite church, we give a name to this, this growing in faith. We call this discipleship. We want to become more like Jesus, to live like he lived, to follow his teaching. So what I have developed is my own, this is my own thing, I'm going to copyright this. These are my 5 P's of Christian discipleship. Copyright right here. They are plan, prepare, plant, prune, and harvest. Copyright 2022. No. No, we're going to go through each of these and show you some examples from the Bible and just what is going on here and how we can apply this to our life and grow as Christians as well. So we will start with planning. So this passage that Danny read for us from Ecclesiastes is really an interesting one. I think it deserves more reflection than what it has actually received. And what we find here early on, chapter 11, those first few verses, they talk about a fancy word. The word is diversification. Diversification is actually an English word. I'm not going to make you say it, but it just simply means to have your hand in a number of different things. It starts out by saying you can grow a crop and send it overseas, but then if you're just sitting around waiting, you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know if you're actually going to get paid for that crop that you sent over there. So the author of Ecclesiastes, many people say this is Solomon's writing, says that you should have your hand in like 7 or 8 different things. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. And I think this is very true whenever you're growing a real crop. My dad puts out several crops. He puts out mostly corn and alfalfa. But if you have just one thing, if you have just, say, all corn, and there's a really bad year for European corn borers, it could be a problem. And they will eat your entire crop. Anybody else see the new Jurassic Park movie? No? Okay, well, this reference will be completely lost to you. You have to be careful because there may be a time when genetically modified locusts take over and eat entire crops of wheat. It's funny if you saw the movie, right, Paxton? No? Okay. But the idea here is you have to be prepared because some things may affect certain crops and not affect others. So if you put out different kinds of crops, they may be able to wear and weather the differences in the environment or the rainfall or the pests, anything that comes up. So it's saying diversify, do things other than this one thing, just in case something doesn't go as planned. The other thing that this passage talks about is being prepared and planning ahead. Now, when I think about sitting down to plan a crop, you know, when my dad sits down to decide how much corn he's going to put out every year, he starts by looking at how much corn he has left over from the year before. What needs will he have for the upcoming year? You don't just go out and start driving around your tractor until you run out of corn to plant and then just say that's going to be enough. It takes some preparation. But I also realize that this may not be something that really rings true to most kids today. As if we were even talking here with these children, and had they said, you know, I said, where do you get these vegetables? Like, you go to the grocery store. And yes, like, she knows that you grow it in the ground, but you just have to go down the road to Food Lion. And we, today, like, we don't even think about it. I don't even think about it. If I want an avocado in February, I just go down to Food Lion. 100 years ago, the people in Stanton, Virginia probably didn't know what avocados were. Danny, did you ever have an avocado growing up? Have you had an avocado recently? Okay. But even think about the things that they did have. If you were living 100 years ago and you wanted to have peaches in the middle of the winter, the summer before, you had to can them. If you wanted your family to have green beans throughout the winter, if you wanted to give them some sort of vegetable to eat in the cold months, you had to prepare. You had to think ahead. You had to plan this all out. You didn't just say, hey, I'm going to go down to the Food Lion. Need anything? Pick me up some green beans. No. When you went to plant your food in the spring, you thought ahead. You planned what you needed. So when we try to apply this to our Christian life, our desire to grow in our faith, I come back to that word diversification. Why don't we just say that? Because it is kind of a fun one to say. And it's an English word, but it'll get your lips moving this morning. Everybody say diversification. I think it's really important to grow through a diverse number of avenues. When we think about growth Christian-wise, if we think about growing in faith, there tends to be 2 different things that we think about focusing on. We think about focusing on prayer and reading Scripture. Anything wrong in the world with prayer and reading Scripture? No, absolutely not. Don't hear me saying anything contrary to that. Prayer and Scripture reading is important. But I also recognize that there's times when people are hurting and they're suffering and they're asking questions and they just can't bring themselves to pray. I also realize there's people that can't read Scripture or can't read well. Maybe they never learned to read. Maybe they didn't, you know, have access to a Bible. There's got to be other ways that we can grow as well. So I think about diversifying how we grow in our likeness of Christ. So we have things like prayer and reading Scripture. But what about listening to podcasts? Anybody here listen to podcasts? There's some really good podcasts out there Christian podcasts that will help you grow in your faith. I think about things like journaling. Some people keep prayer journals, writing down the things that they're thankful for, the things that they want, the things that they see, the way they experience God around them. I think about some of these biblical things like fasting. I know you're looking at me and like, dude, I know you had a donut this morning. You're not fasting, no. But there's times that we are called to do these things, to give up something, to focus on something else. And I think about these old traditions that are kind of coming back in again. Have you ever been in a prayer labyrinth or seen them before? You know what a prayer labyrinth is. They're often these things out in nature with stone or rock or some sort of pavement where you walk through this almost maze back and forth, zigzagging through. And as you walk through, you're surrounded by the beauty of God's nature. You're supposed to be praying because you're not really thinking about what you're doing as you wander through. And all at once, you find yourself in the middle. And it's just this way of centering yourself on this time of prayer. And if you're interested in trying a prayer labyrinth, I know several that are around this area. There's all these different ways to find ourselves connecting with God and growing in our likeness of Christ. And I think it's really important that we have a diverse number of ways to grow, because there are times when our lives are in a period of drought and we just need something different. And the good news is there are different ways to go about that. Along the theme of diversification, I would also say that who we learn from is important. And hearing from a number of different voices can contribute to how we grow in Christ as well. And I'll come back to that here shortly. All right, so that was planning. The next one is preparing. Now, I know that planning and preparing sound very much alike, but when I talk about planning, I'm thinking about just like mentally working your way through it. How are we going to do this? And then preparing is how you actually get things ready to do it. Making the soil so that the seed has the best possible opportunity to grow. So as I was sitting here with the kids, we talked about the soil, and the quality of the soil is really important. So I keep looking back at Will. If you don't know what Will's experience was, Will worked in agriculture, agricultural consultant. You knew, and you probably still know, you didn't forget in that week since you retired. Will knows that certain plants require certain kind of soil, certain plants require certain kinds of fertilizers, and just being able to prepare the soil in a way so that that soil will provide the best possible opportunity for that seed to grow and develop. So I think about working in my garden. You know, I want to get out there and I want to till that soil up so they have that good soil-to-seed contact. I want to prepare that soil and remove the large rocks that are going to get in the way. I want to fertilize that soil for the plant that I'm about to grow. And then because I'm very particular, and I don't know, maybe it's the farm boy in me that wants to see those straight rows of corn, I'm going to get out there, and as I prepare those rows, I'm going to measure each one. I'm out there with my tape measure and my string, and I'm trying to get those. No? You get more plants in a crooked row, right? I want to have everything as ready as possible to give the best opportunity for that seed to grow and develop. So I'm thinking about how this then applies to our growth as Christians. How can we prepare ourselves to grow? And I, for one, realize that I am not always as prepared as I should be. And what I mean by that is whenever I sit down with my scripture, or I sit down to read something, or I sit down and have a time of prayer, often, you know what I do? I fall asleep. Am I alone? No, it's not just me. I don't know if it's about getting older or just what it is. And I know some of you work, Ben works extremely weird hours. Bless you. But I realize that there are times that I could do a better job taking care of myself physically and have more energy and be able to do these things. If I was better prepared, if I was better rested before I sit down and try to read or study or pray or whatever it might be, those times would be more effective. And I think about how easily I'm distracted. Anybody else easily distracted? I think, well, you heard me. That's good, though. You're paying attention. I'm so easily distracted, and there's wonderful things, wonderful opportunities available to us on our smartphones. I have spent a lot of time doing like devotional readings on my phone. But I also find that it's really easy to check the weather one more time. It's really easy to see my Facebook feed updates and social media updates. It's really easy to be distracted by what's going on in sports with the news. And then kind of, oh yeah, I still have to read this passage. I believe that in order to be the most productive as we can be, we need to prepare ourselves physically and mentally to receive that seed. Next one is plant. What are we planting? So I had to joke with the kids a little bit because I had to be honest. You know, when I was looking for seeds for them to plant, these probably won't grow. This is simply edamame out of our freezer. There's a chance, you know, it is soybeans. I don't know. We're all going to learn something new. I'm not too hopeful. Soybeans, it's edamame. I could eat it. Ooh, maybe I shouldn't have. But how many times have you ever planted begonia seeds and gotten this butternut squash? Has that ever happened? Maybe you expected something to grow and you got something else, but that's mostly because, you have a story, Casey? And got what instead? Bloody butcher corn? That's a variety of corn. So often what happens in those situations when you plant one thing and you get something else, usually that's human error, right? So there's a story over here too. We'll save that for another time. You thought you were going to plant something and you got something else. But you don't plant, you know, watermelon seeds and you get corn. You get whatever you plant. Like that seed is going to grow into a specific kind of plant if given the right opportunity to grow. Now, some seed is bad. Some seed is old. Some seed just will not grow. And some seed is really good. I just want to encourage you to be aware, just as you would be whenever you're planting seed, that what you put in the ground is going to affect what comes out. You put good seed in the ground, and you're going to get a good, you have a better chance of getting a good harvest. You put something bad in the ground, your chances are that you're going to get something a lot worse. And as I try to apply this to my personal growth, my personal walk with Jesus, I realize that so many times I find myself surrounded by very negative people. And it's even people that used to be really positive and upbeat and like fun people to be around. Now I find them being very draining. People that I thought were loving and giving and kind people now have become very antagonistic and angry kind of people. And those people really tend to wear on me after a while. And not only that, I don't like who I become around those people. Yeah, some of you are like, yeah, huh? Because I start to mimic them. I mirror their attitude back to them. And somebody pointed out to me recently that what we often see in our news media is that they are selling anger. They are selling disgruntledness. They are selling, what's the word I'm looking for here? They are selling rage. I forgot the word rage, right? Our news media outlets, whether those are traditional outlets like newspapers or television, or more contemporary or modern ones like online, they're selling us rage because they start yelling into the camera and they tell you to like and click and follow them online. And we do that, we get these angry people. They're selling us rage because we are buying it in bulk. They make money off of being angry. And then we start mimicking that and reflecting that to the world around us. Now, I would simply say that there is a time for anger and there's a time for rage. Jesus got angry. Jesus turned over some tables. He chased some people out. This is appropriate. But I don't think it's appropriate to always be in this attitude of rage. I've seen some people like, I just like miss the old you. I miss when you were happy and friendly and kind. And I think about how this doesn't affect just like one side or the other. I think how it affects both conservatives and progressives. You know, which news outlet is selling the rage these days? Yeah, it's both. Like you can find it on Fox News or CNN. These people are upset. They're upset about different things. But they're still upset, getting you to click, like, follow, subscribe. That's how they make their money. And it's not just in the secular world. We're finding it in the church as well. We are selling rage in the church. You see some of the angriest pastors up on a Sunday morning yelling into the camera, yelling into their microphone, and people are eating that stuff up. Those are the seeds that are being planted, and those seeds are bearing fruit that looks just like the previous generation. Angry seeds bear angry fruit. Good seeds bear good fruit. So I encourage you to be aware of who you are learning from. And I'd come back again to the idea of diversity. I think diversity is very important when you're planting, even when you're planting in your own life. I find it very helpful to learn from people who think differently than I do. I say this many times throughout the year. This is one of my central points, is that I learn really well from people who have differing perspectives. I've learned a lot from Presbyterians and Catholics and Baptists. I've learned a lot from African Americans and Hispanic leaders and Latino and Asian people. And the more I'm around the different people, I'm forced to do two things. One, I have to better understand my own perspective. Why do I believe the things that I believe? But two, I'm also opened up to their perspectives in a new way. I learn from them. Now, that also includes learning from people who have different political perspectives than I do. The more we can surround ourselves with people that do so in a healthy way, the more I think we can grow and develop. Let's move on. We have a couple more to go. Prune. I talked about this one a little more than a year ago out at the park. Talked about pruning the vine. Now, we've all talked to, well, you know what pruning is, right? That's when you're sitting in the tub for like more than an hour and your fingers get all wrinkled. You prune up, no? No, pruning is when you trim a plant or a tree or something like that. Sometimes you prune something to help shape it. We have these decorative cherry trees in our front yard, and they can get a little bit unkempt, I think is the right word for it. So I go out and I prune them every now and then to try to make them a little more nice and round and even and uniform, and that also keeps them from scratching up my car as I back out the driveway, because they reach out there and get it. So we prune in that way. But in agriculture, or even in like growing your own food, there are times and places where you prune things because it makes the thing that you're growing more productive. One of the examples that we find in the Bible is the grape vines. Jesus talks, "I am the vine, you are the branches." So when you prune a grape vine, you are cutting off the new growth on that vine, because by doing so, the plant is able to give more energy, more nutrients to the grape itself. Nobody plants a grape vine because they love the vine, right? Let's just have more vines. Let's have more vines. No, what do you grow a grape vine for? You want the grapes, exactly. My understanding, and again, you know, Will, you can correct me on this. It's true with animals as well, that plants, animals, creatures, whatever they are, they give more energy. The first amount of energy that they have that they consume, it goes toward vegetative growth. And it's only whatever is left after the vegetative growth that it goes towards reproductive growth. Does that sound about right? Just nod, we'll go with that. It factors into my message here, so yeah. So a plant like a grapevine will grow vegetatively first with the energy that's available to it. Only with the remaining energy is then put toward growing the grapes. Okay, something like that. So what a person will do when they are growing grapes is they will cut off this new vegetative growth to allow more energy to go into the growth of the grape. And I know most of us have never grown grapes before. Something similar is true with tomatoes. In tomatoes, you've seen there's two different varieties. There's determinate and indeterminate plants. A determinate tomato plant will stop growing once it goes to fruit. An indeterminate one will continue to grow vegetatively. It continue to shoot out different branches. This right here we call a sucker. Yeah, you knew that one. So with an indeterminate tomato plant, you're supposed to pick off the sucker. And the reason you do that is because if you don't, it will continue to grow vegetatively, but you want that tomato fruit to grow. So you want the energy to go into the fruit development. You don't really want all the vegetative growth. Now, there's absolutely nothing wrong with grape branches, vines, or tomato vines as well. Those are fine things. They're just not the goal. That's not what you were looking for. When we look at our own lives, We need to be asking, where is our energy going? Where are we putting all the effort into? Like, and if we put effort into one thing, what else is being robbed? So I start to think about things like my career on TikTok. I don't have a career on TikTok, no. Do you know what TikTok is? Okay, if you don't, consider yourself blessed. That's good. TikTok is this social media thing where you put these short videos online, and if you get a lot of likes and follows, you can actually make a pretty good career by posting these simple videos of yourself online. And I thought if I was going to start a TikTok career, it would be like me doing dad jokes. And come on, I'm going to get a few likes, right? Thanks for your support. But if I was to start this TikTok career, I would have to be borrowing time from something. If I start investing time in finding all these dad jokes and putting them out there online, curating my online presence, I'm going to be borrowing time from my family. Well, maybe we wouldn't have had time to go see that movie the other day. I'm going to have to borrow time from myself. Maybe I'm not going to have that personal time to sit and just relax. I'm going to have to borrow time from the church. Maybe I won't have as much time to visit people who are homebound. I'm going to be borrowing time from God. Maybe I won't have as much time to do my studies. And doing a career in TikTok, that's not a bad thing. But that's not the ultimate goal. Sometimes you have to prune a few things away so the ultimate goal can grow and develop. All right, that brings us to the one that you've all been waiting for. The last P of the five P's of personal growth, the harvest. Or maybe it's farvest, I don't know. Does it make a sound? No, I actually went and looked at my thesaurus to try to find a word, a P word, that would mean harvest, and I was utterly disappointed. My efforts were fruitless, futile, ineffective, and in vain. Thank you. Anyway, the thing about harvest is that's a very biblical image, but I want to use it slightly different. Jesus talks about the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. But I want to talk about the harvest in our own lives. Because when I think about the harvest, I think of one of the most rewarding times of the year. I think about those October evenings when the weather is turning a little bit cooler and the sun is sitting low, the colors are starting to change, and you spent the day driving back and forth in your trusted combine or tractor. And all of that work that you've been putting in for over probably a year, planning ahead from planning how much corn you're going to need or how many soybeans you're going to need for the year or what fertilizer you're going to need, all the preparation you did for that soil to plow and till and prepare, all the work you might have done to cultivate along the way, the harvest is the time when you sit back and you enjoy the fruits of your labor. So when I think about the harvest is how that applies to our life, as Christians, as we grow in the faith, I think this is the ultimate goal. When we sit down at the end of our life and look back at all we've done, and we realize all the work that we put in, all of the studying we did, and the sacrifices we made along the way, the efforts that were involved in getting to that point, we sit back on that beautiful fall day, look at the colors around us, the hay mow as it's stacked higher and higher, the corn cribs as they are filled to the brim, the animals that will be happy and fed for the winter, and you realize it was all worth it. You look back and you hear that voice of Christ saying, "Well done, good and faithful servant." These are my five P's. We plan, we prepare, we plant, we prune, and we harvest. The harvest is plentiful, even in our own lives. Let's pray. God, we give you thanks today for all that you've given to us and the ways that you've given us to understand who you are and what you're calling us to. And Lord, we thank you for these metaphors that we find throughout the Bible, these biblical metaphors using agriculture as a symbol. And maybe it's difficult for us to connect sometimes, but Lord, may we grow just like the plants that you've placed in our care. May we develop just as you have shown us the plants around us will develop. And Lord, may we sit back one day and enjoy the harvest of a life lived for you. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Well, this brings us to the time of our service for the sharing of praises and prayer concerns. And my pen wandered off. Is it right there?